Welcome to the Adonis Index Podcast. I'm John Barbin, and with me is Simon Bernard. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
And he's placed first in our competition, a 12-week, I guess we call it AT8 midterm competition. Go over to AdonisIndex.com and check out his pictures. Now we were just talking. You actually said that there's more to this transformation than we managed to capture at the contest, so we put it up on this blog post. So talk about your whole path with us, like starting right from the beginning, then I guess like what we were just talking about.
Actually, I think that maybe some of the guys have seen it on the forums, because I posted a couple pictures of right before I started AI. Mm-hmm. The whole process was kind of a long story, actually. Most of the guys, I have been trying for several years to lose some what we call, quote, stubborn belly fat. And I've been trying lots of different things, and I've been through different programs throughout the years before I found out about you guys. Mm-hmm. And basically, for the whole transformation, just to give an idea to people, because not everyone mentioned this in the podcast, but I thought it would be a good idea to say it. I am actually 5'7". Mm-hmm. And at the beginning of my transformation, I was weighing around 145 pounds. Mm-hmm. And in my final pictures, I was around like 127 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it's roughly a 20-pound fat loss throughout the whole process. Well, maybe not all fat, but the weight loss. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have been carrying that for a long time, and I only started to see results when I implemented what you guys suggest with Eat, Stop, Eat, and just the concept, the general, like, so logical concept of eating less and moving more, because the move more part, I did a lot in the past, but before starting the whole Adonis process, I focus more on the moving part than on the eating less portion of it. Mm-hmm. How could I go with that?
So that's kind of that number, probably the 120s. Like the idea of being that light probably bothers some guys. Like, did it bother you?
Well, actually, not at all. I didn't have that kind of issue, like, as to the permission to be light thing.
Yeah.
I always thought I was let's start from the beginning. When I was like a kid, when I was around like 12 years old, it's around that time that I got really fat. Like, for instance, I was around like 5 foot tall and weighing maybe 160 pounds.
Mm. Okay.
So I was kind of a chubby kid, and since that time, I always tried to lose that surplus, and either by doing exercise or trying different kind of stuff, but mostly with the spur of growth of juvenile growth. Mm-hmm. Things kind of evened out, so I ended up like at 5'7", around hovering like around maybe 140, sometimes a bit higher, sometimes a bit lower, but always carrying that kind of fat with me. Mm-hmm. And so I always had it in my mind that I had to lose weight. So it was never an issue of getting bigger, but always of getting smaller. And I kind of always had the idea that the way to do it was to lose the fat first and then to build up some muscle mass. But, you know, as you get in touch with the information in the industry and everything, you get carried away, and you think you need to get bigger and to build more muscle in order to be able to lose more fat and all that stuff. So I guess that's why it took me so long to get into the right way to do it.
Yeah, you get caught up in the problem is the thinking that it's either or.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking, well, just continue training for muscle, just eat a bit less, and kind of both can happen. No one thinks that way. They just think it's got to be one or the other.
Yeah, the thing is, it makes so much sense to do it that way. And actually, I always kind of thought that in life, you know, the excess weight is just energy you didn't use, and that you just need to use it in order to even things out. Mm-hmm. But we get like so much crappy information around that, and I think we kind of lose sight of what's the real process behind it.
Yeah, it becomes simpler. I think people want to complicate it. It seems to be a theme that it's not easy. So, but people don't want to admit that something is simple but not easy. So they want it to be not easy and not simple. They want it to be complicated and to kind of prove why it's so hard. It's kind of hard.
Like a bunch of the other guys, I went through this with the people around me too. Like when I was talking about all my process and everything, and they were like, "Oh, but it can't be that simple. It can't. It has to be like some weird stuff you're doing, or it has to be hard and everything, and you have to feel pain. No pain, no gain, you know, the whole attitude."
Yeah, I think that's kind of ridiculous. It's just, I don't know. I still don't, I think I've come to the reason why. It's just people want to have an excuse for why they haven't done it yet. And if you tell them it's that simple, then they just feel stupid for not getting it done. So, yeah, but it's still freaking hard. It's just simple. Like, it's hard.
Well, you have
hard
to be pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very proud of myself for that thing, because I always had like a trouble in my life to getting things done. You know, to start something and seeing it all the way through. And that was kind of frustrating, because at first in my different trials in order to lose fat and to try and build a shape I was happy with, I was always for the periods I was very like working on it. I was always very consistent and never seeing the results I expected to see, you know. Mm-hmm. Until now.
Right. Yeah. So it's well, the consistency thing is part of what is simple but difficult.
Yeah.
It's like being consistent. Okay, that's not a difficult concept. It's pretty simple, but it's hard to do. Like
it's hard to put to use. Yeah.
Like having actually 12 forward weeks in a row, I almost don't think anyone yet has done that for a contest.
Like, oh no, and I didn't either. Like after the workout starts, of course, I don't think I missed one workout. Mm. But for the diet part, actually, I was pretty consistent with the fasting, but as far as trying to control like the exact input of food every day, well, I was kind of messy sometimes.
Talk about that. That's not. I mean, you still got great results, but that's the thing. It's never smooth. It's just more positive days than not, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and. Some struggle here and there, you know. Actually, I just want to mention, if sometimes it's kind of unclear the way I express myself, it's because I'm French. So sometimes I have to look for my words.
It's fine. Just continue.
Okay. As far as the diet goes, actually, I've been like doing pretty consistently, as I was saying, the 24 hours fast, like twice a week.
Did you do that right to the end?
Yeah.
Okay, and that never became any more difficult?
No, not really, because I think, what I think it is that probably around the end, during the weekends, maybe I was abusing a little bit more of the pleasure of foods, so it was kind of compensating for the fasting, even though I was very low in body fat and everything. But still, it was kind of 24 hours fast were still easy to do at that point too.
Good. So it became a pretty good balance. So you didn't. It sounds like you never really gave up your weekends.
No, never. And seriously, guys, maybe it sounds weird, but I ate almost anything I wanted all the way through. The thing is, I tried to get stricter during the week. Like, The way I would do it is like usually from Sunday night to Monday night would be my first fast. Mm-hmm. And the other one would be like either from Wednesday night to Thursday night or from Thursday night to Friday night. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, I would like drink almost all the booze I wanted, go to the restaurant or cook like whatever I felt like eating. And but during the week, I would try to keep it like two meals a day, one breakfast and one dinner late at night, mm-hmm. and try to keep it simple, not put too much different, too many different foods per meal in order to be able to control. But the thing is that from the beginning, I told myself I want to do this thing, but I want to try to do it the way you guys intended it, so as simple as possible. And I didn't want to get into like the I wanted to try to do it without counting calories. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to like kind of guess it, estimate it, and try to see how it was going. And like right at the beginning, as we were talking earlier, I started a little bit before the contest. Mm-hmm. So it gave me some time to see how things were going and if I was guessing right or to do some adjustments. But still, right from the beginning, I think the first month, I went down like 2 inches in like 4 weeks.
Oh, okay.
On my waistline.
Yeah. So it hit hard pretty fast.
Yeah. Pretty fast. And actually, at first, I was kind of afraid, a little bit scared about the fasting thing, because I had heard about it before reading your stuff, because I went through a couple programs I found online, and there were these guys who had this program set up with different kind of intermittent fasting. But the thing is, I tried their program. It was kind of a, how can I say that, a crash fasting program over 20 days, I guess, something like that. And they were combining like 36-hour fast with some what they call the warrior diet.
I don't know if you
heard about that. Like you eat a shake, you take a shake in the morning at 8, and you don't eat anything before 8 at night.
Yeah, it's just... It's complicating things that don't need to be complicated. They're just see, all fasting is a simple way to think your way through eating less food. That's all it is.
Yeah.
There's no magic to a fast at all. I mean, all it is, the true magic is how simple it is to get your way through eating less. That's its magic, right? So, but these people complicate the hell out of it. They ruin what's good about fasting. They make you worry about when it should happen, and then they start saying you should take branched chain amino acids, and then, you know, some of the warrior diet guys stuff, you actually end up eating all the way through the fast anyways, but protein shakes, that's not a fast. So it's, you know, they all try to make you think it's something more than just eating less. And then...
what's worse about it is I tried to follow this for like a couple days, and at my second 36-hour fast, I ended up like waking up in the night, and I threw up like bile and
all kinds
of stuff. Yeah, because my stomach was so messed up because of all the different eating patterns and the too long fasting all put together in a row with like weird overfeeding and cheat days and everything. During the second 36 hours, that I woke up during the night and I was like busy and everything, and I just like threw up all over the place, and my girlfriend was like, dude, what the hell's going on? What are you doing? You gotta stop this. So at first, when I stumbled upon the Eat Stop Eat and all the fasting stuff on your side, I was like a bit, I'm going to say, I read it and I thought it was like so much easier than the way these guys had presented it. Mm-hmm. But I decided to try it like slowly at first and then see how things are going. But seriously, after the first two fasts, I was like, oh my God, it's not hard at all. And I feel great. And actually, I discovered I'm so much, my workouts are so much better fasted That's insane. I can push way more, way harder than when I ate.
It's not for not everyone gets that, but a lot of people get that. That's pretty consistent. I think a part of it's a mindset, right? Like just because after your first experience with those other fasts, you might get to the point where you don't believe in it because you're like, well, last time I tried fasting, I threw up. So, you know what I mean? Like people can really ruin the idea with all the stupid things they try to do with it. So it's just got to keep it simple.
That's what I did all the way from the beginning to the end. And actually, I'm still fasting now, like once or twice a week, depending on how much I eat during the weekends or on any given days.
Yeah.
And I do it because still I think I feel great when I do it. Some people are asking questions about it, but you know I don't care about that, and I just do my stuff and.
Yeah, and then you basically can do what you want as far as eating on the weekend. So it's kind of, it's almost.
Yeah, and there's this popular food here in Quebec. We call that poutine.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you know that?
Oh yeah, I know it. You tell everyone.
Yeah, it's actually French fries with some like grated cheese and gravy on it.
Yeah.
And it's very popular here in Quebec, and we eat that like sometimes for a meal, but most of the time when you come back from the bar and you had lots of booze, it's kind of your munchie.
Yeah, it's a recipe
for I love it personally, and I can tell you guys that I ate some of it like all the way through, like maybe once every 2 weeks or something like that.
During the contest, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you were eating fries with gravy and cheese on it, and you still got in this condition. And that's the thing, if you do it right, you can. Like you should be able to do that. That's the whole point.
Yeah, that's it. You just have to do it smartly, you know. It all comes down to the simple fact that if you eat a bigger meal, then your next meal should either be later or smaller.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm. It's so simple. Like an 8-year-old could figure this out.
Yeah, but the thing is that we get into so much like different conditionings from the environment that our body get used to all sorts of signals, and we kind of get confused about why we are hungry. Is it because we really need to eat, or because we were so used to like watching TV while eating dinner when we were young that every time we sit in front of a TV, our body screams like, oh, you need to eat something. But you don't actually need it. It's just because you're so used to having those two stimuli put together. Then
oh yeah, and that's a lot of a lot of this is breaking conditioned habits.
Yeah.
And the other diet and fitness products marketing, they ignore the idea that we've just been trained into habits, and they try to say it's biochemical things and. You know, it's some kind of hormone or this or that. Really, they're kind of right in that certain hormones, like, are triggered by, you know, kind of Pavlov's dog. Like, yeah, if you're used to eating in front of a television, you may salivate as soon as the TV's on. Like, you may actually be like, yeah, I should eat right now. But that you can break a habit. You just got to realize that that's the habit you've had in the first place. And it has nothing to do with macronutrient ratios or meal timing. It's the simple fact you've trained yourself to eat that way.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
So
I think people don't want to believe that they're that trainable and they can be trained into habits that easily.
Yeah, because it means they don't have as much control as they think they did over what they're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And then the flip side of that is if it's trainable, you can train a different habit too.
Yep.
So
you just have to be patient and to try to be to put some effort to it and.
Yeah, but then once you groove it, it just becomes what you do.
Yeah, like the training. You know, last summer I've been like working at two different jobs, and they were actually both part time, but still I managed to have two different jobs and still go and work out 5 to 6 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure I would be able to do that, but still, my mind was set, and I just kept going day after day.
Hey, what program were you using then?
Actually, I started with MBF.
Yep.
and I did the first 10 weeks. But the thing is, as I was saying earlier, right before starting AI, I was doing the P90X.
Yep. How'd you find
that? I've been doing like phase one and phase two.
How'd you find that?
Exhausting. Actually, some of the workouts, I liked it because there are some different stuff to it. Like you do something different every day. This is one thing I like. I thought it was pretty good for conditioning, like as far as being able to do more stuff and more intense stuff in 1 hour. But I've seen absolutely almost no muscle gains or no fat loss whatsoever with that.
Really? So all that work and nothing to show for it?
Yeah. And I wasn't eating that much, you know. There's also the thing that at that time I was consuming maybe a little bit more of protein. As it was before I found out about you guys, I also thought I had to have a shake after every workout. And that's probably actually what the only thing that killed my results with fat loss all these years, because as far as meal speaking, I wasn't eating like so much fast food or like so much food, so to speak. But probably just the protein shake, like the daily protein shake, was what was killing my results, I think.
Yeah, it's excess for no reason.
Mm-hmm. That's just it.
There's only so much you need, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So well then, I mean, the process sound pretty straightforward for you then, and you're basically.
Oh yeah. No. What I was saying. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's because I have been doing the P90X for the two first phase, so like for maybe a month and a half. And then I found out about you guys, and I jumped into MBF right off the bat. But as I had been doing the P90X stuff for a couple months, around week 10 of MBF, I was kind of not pooped, but I felt like it was a good time for me to take the recovery week.
All right, okay.
That you usually take in between MBF and the first main AI cycle, like before strength and endurance. So after week 10, I took a week off.
Okay.
And then I jumped right back into the main module. So I up to the end of the contest, I've been doing strength and endurance and hypertrophy. And I threw in, during the first cycle, I threw in the back booster. And during hypertrophy, I've been doing the chest booster. And the way I arranged the whole thing is like I would do the two first day of the week would be the main workouts, the first 2 days of strength and endurance. Then I would do a booster on the third day. And then I would do day three and four of the main workout. And then do the day two booster on the next day, and then I would take a day off, and then start again on Monday.
All right, so you're pretty comfortable like using the workout kind of in your own pattern, sort of like adding things together.
Yep.
Yep. That's good. And then and so now you're just, and from here on in, the goal is muscle gaining, right?
Yeah, all the way.
Yeah, and I mean the condition you're in, there's no reason to. I mean, it looks good. I would just keep pushing it.
Oh yeah, that's definitely what I'll do. And you know, you want to know one thing funny? I had a fit test at my gym last week.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a test they make people take like, in order to evaluate their condition.
Yes.
And they kind of measure your body fat with calipers. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the results, I find it was kind of funny because they told me I was around like 6.7%. Body fat.
Oh yeah.
Well, it sounds kind of impossible to me.
You could be. I mean, those things all have an error. I mean, there's always errors involved in all of them. But it's hard to tell, like with body fat, the look versus it, you can't really just look at someone and tell. It depends how muscular they are. I'd say you're probably close to that. You're probably somewhere between. Would you say 6.7? That you could be. You could be.
Because looking at your pictures, you and Pilon and everything, I thought I was probably more around like 10 or something like that.
Well, but that's just, you can't compare yourself to us, right? It's, you just, and but like for instance, Vivek was 6%, but he still wasn't as lean looking as you, because he doesn't have as much muscle as you do. So it's that's my point, right? Like he got measured in a DEXA at 6%, but he's not doesn't have as much visible muscle because he's just new to muscle building, completely new. So
yeah,
even though he's got no fat, there's no muscle to show through yet, so it doesn't show up as much. Whereas me and Pilon have been training for 20 years, so we can kind of, you can see a bit more muscle even though we're not as lean. So you're kind of somewhere between us. So. Yeah, but I mean, just looking at your pics, I would guess you're probably close to that, somewhere around anywhere between, you know, you're 6.7, you know, 7 to 8, something like that. Yeah, I'd believe it.
Okay.
So, yeah, just, I mean, staying anywhere in the single digits is going to look great, and then just keep moving forward. So, well, what's your advice for everyone then who's listening?
Well, after I've listened to all the listened to all the podcasts, it's gonna be pretty much the same thing as everybody else. I would say, like, try and keep it simple, and to be consistent. Try to follow the program as it is written. Like, not trying to do too much or to change anything, or ask. Ask the guys before you change anything to see if it's possible, or maybe you could do more by just like increasing the intensity on the workouts you're doing, on the way you're doing your current workout. Don't involve too much people in your process, because when you talk to people, even though you're explaining things in the right way, most people. You hear that in a podcast, but you're going to experience it yourself. They tend to be jealous and to question your methods. So I would say, like, keep it to your closest friend or the people you trust, and don't involve too much people in there. And also, as for the, in order to be able to do it the way I did it, which is like to still enjoy everything on the weekend and to eat like almost anything you feel like eating. Well, prepare for your social events. I mean, if you know you're gonna have some stuff going on during the weekend, well, as they already said, you can try and fast before and after. That's the way I did it. That's why I put my fast like at the beginning. Like from Sunday to Monday, or from Thursday to Friday, it was in order to prevent and at the same time do some damage control if I would go overboard for the weekend. Mm-hmm. But not as a punishment, but just, you know, as a smart way to balance things.
Yeah, it was pre-planned. Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the way to do it, right? Because if you fall into the trap of punishment, then you start to hate the idea of fasting, and then the whole thing goes like the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was pretty good. If you want to leave it there, I think it's a good place to leave it.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything more to say.
Okay, all right. So for Simon Bernite, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Donis Index podcast.